This is a Brain Bites episode. We share two quick ideas we learnt this week to help you leverage your brain for a better life. And always remember, make sure to hit the subscribe or follow button so that you never miss a Brain Tools episode. It's time to level up your brain. Let's get cracking. I've got to be honest with you, things in the world seem a little bit hectic at the moment, particularly when it comes to the job arena. Previously, it was the great resignation, and now it seems to be the great layoffs. You know, history rhymes, and it seems that we are in a position whereby people are getting laid off, you know, tech industry, any other really industry that's taking place. Truth be told, it's industry agnostic. And if that has happened to you, then my heart goes out to you. I genuinely feel for you. And this episode actually is designed for you. And it came from a person, a friend that recently got laid off from Meta. And we were talking, frankly, about Facebook then, the culture, the mission, the people, and so on. And it was so, so clear that this person was incredibly emotional and just sad and feeling a lot of remorse because they were so bought into what Meta stood for. But then you could sense a little bit of lamenting, I suppose, with a smear on the company with recent events that have happened over the past 3-5 years. You know, we talk about Cambridge Analytica, we talk about the influence on political debates and outcomes and the influence on mental health of teens, which is more a social media issue than it is just a Facebook or Meta issue. But then it got us talking about it, like talk about unintended consequences. What did Meta start off with? It just started as at Harvard campus. It was a way to meet people. And if I'm being really, really direct, almost like a pseudo Tinder. And then it grew and it grew and it grew. More campuses, then this obviously social platform with billions of people that access it every single day. And so you could argue that Mark Zuckerberg might have had this vision for it of how big it could be and didn't know that it was going to take that place. But when you really think about it, a lot of these are unintended consequences. It doesn't necessarily mean to do this. It doesn't mean you should shirk responsibility. But it's also this concept of understanding that there are second, third order consequences that you can't actually see. And that's particularly the case for companies and for individuals that might now actually be affected by the layoffs. And so if I was to explain this, it's essentially saying from a conceptual level that we want A to cause B. It's cause and effect. But then we don't realize that B causes C, D, E, F, G, and on. This tree of possibilities that come from just a few decisions. As things grow in scale, they, you know, become more complex, particularly when it involves humans and scaling that. But its complexity is driven by the sheer number of nodes in the network and the self-interest of those nodes. And that, for us as individuals, can be great opportunities to understand the positive unintended consequences as well. But if I'm, again, frank, it's why policy planning is so hard at the government level. Like, how do you organize millions and millions and millions of people? It's a miracle that we actually do this in some way, shape, or form to deal with the complexity of, what, 8 billion people around the world. And so if I give you examples of unintended consequences, the easiest one is when you throw a ball down the stairs. Think about the last time you did that. And then you search for where you think that ball is going to be, and it blows your mind that it is in another area of the room that you could not have foreseen it taking place. It's the most random place. You didn't see the collisions. You didn't see the way that it bounced with other things. And that's unintended consequences. What turns out to be hard, you thought would be simple. You know, implementing any change at work. Think about the initial solution when you actually implement it. It had unforeseen and unintended consequences. Remote working, a new product, a new policy that you're trying to implement. There are all these downstream consequences. And so as I think through how to practically implement this, how do you leverage it? The second order thinking, and we've covered this before on the podcast, is asking yourself, and then what? For you right now, if you have been laid off, it's okay, and then what? What are the possibility sets that actually exists now? And it's not to take away from the negative emotion, the difficulty that it can cause and the stress and anxiety. But again, that different frame of reference, the possibilities that could exist. What's the best thing that could happen? What's the worst thing that could happen? What can we tweak in order to, you know, decrease or increase the probability of that possibility? Obviously, you want to be really mindful of analysis paralysis. You still have to make sure you get stuff done. You don't just think through all these possibilities and unintended consequences and do nothing about it. You need to test it. Another example is culture and values at an organization. Think about the unintended consequences of people scaling. We've said this before. It's really tough, but how do you ensure alignment? What are the means at which you do that? Culture, values, and the embodiment of these rituals, not just things that look nice on a poster and you advertise to get people, but these are things that you live and breathe that then help you scale. Again, remember, ideas can scale to quote unquote organize people for good or bad. And as my final one, you may have, again, lost your job, but remember, there are unintended consequences to this and you can open new doors. What are those doors? You might not know, but there are unintended consequences to taking action, to having a conversation with someone that you don't know where it will end up, to emailing or cold emailing somebody about a role or about their job and having a coffee with them. Like, there are all these unintended consequences that can take place for the better with you in the situation that you might be in, but all it requires is just a minimum step. As we've said before, not minimum viable product, minimum viable action. What's the smallest action that you can take that will then move forward and then create more trees of possibilities? And so as we wrap this up, I'll leave you with a quote by John Muir about summarizing the law of unintended consequences. When we try to pick out anything by itself, we find it hitched to everything else in the universe. That's not a dream, believe, achieve, wafty, hoo-ha statement. It's simply saying that the world is connected, and it's connected because of the actions that take place. But a lot of the time, we don't know how those actions actually intersect. We can't necessarily predict with great certainty how they'll intersect. But also be mindful of the positive frame of the potential downstream opportunities from these unintended consequences. Protect yourself from the unintended, let's call it negative downstream consequences, and then move forward.
We hope you love this Brain Bites episode. If you wanted to support us, the best way is to add a screenshot of it to your Insta story, or to share it in a WhatsApp group with friends, or share the link to someone who you think might benefit from it. We'll see you next time.